Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. That's all right. I can stretch here for a few minutes. The Lord has certainly gave us a beautiful, beautiful day to start the year off with. A whole lot better today than it was yesterday, and infinitely warmer than it was last Sunday. We look in Colossians chapter 3. We'll be beginning our reading at verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, and looking at verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this day, dear God, we're so very thankful for this wonderful Lord's Day that You gave us with the privilege to gather in Thy house with Thy people. Dear God, we thank You for a brand new year of opportunity that You've given us. And dear Father, I just pray that we would make good use of each and every day of this year that You gave us. Dear Father, I pray that as we look into these passages, this passage of Scripture this morning, dear God, I just pray that You'd open our hearts to see the areas in our life that we need to deal with and things that we need to do. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that's lost, I pray this is the time that You speak to the hearts and draw them unto Yourself. And dear Lord, what You do for us this day, we'll thank You and praise You for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to today is an old challenge for a new year. An old challenge for a new year. Today, not only is it the first Lord's Day of our new year, as you know, in fact, it is the very first day of the new year. I don't know about anybody else, but New Year's Day, or New Year's in general, is one of my favorite times of the whole year. And the reason for that is the newness that comes with this time of year. You know, we don't have to worry too much about the mistakes of 2022. They're over. We need to forget about them. The disasters, the problems, the messes that we made, the consequences we had to deal with out of those messes that we made. It's time to put that behind us because we got a new year. It's a brand new time. It's a freshness that comes with the New Year's. Now, I know that there are some who like New Year because of all the revelry that goes the night before. And then there are many who probably are not even awake yet, that reveled way into the night last night, who quite possibly may not even remember what they did last night. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a child of God that fully understands and fully appreciates that we have been given a brand new year. What we know for certain is that we're a year closer to the Lord coming back. He could come this year. Well, for that matter, he could come today. There's nothing hindering him or stopping him from his imminent return. But this could be the year. This could be the time. As we look into this subject this morning, this is something that I want to begin today and conclude next Sunday. I wound up with a lot more material that I can cover in one day. So we're just going to take our time to move through here and cover it in a way that I think it ought to be covered, because I think it's important that we set the stage properly for starting a new year, as we ought to do it. So as we stand here at the beginning of a brand new year, this is a very, very good time to reflect on the year that has ended. Think about what we did. Think about what we accomplished and so forth. It's also a good time to look forward to the year that has just begun. For you see, not only do we need to forget the mistakes that we made and all we talked about in the past, but beloved, we also need at this time to not, we can't stand on our laurels. The achievements of last year are also behind us. We got to move forward now and start fresh and achieve things for God this year with what we had with the same vigor, if not more so, than we did before. And this is the time of the year when many people look at their lives and they see things that they would like to change a little bit here and a little bit there, and a tweak here and a tweak there. And they make well-meaning, well-intended resolutions for the new year, most of which don't make it through January. But it's just the way that we are, because we recognize that there are a few things that we would like to see different about ourselves to make us the kind of person that we want to be. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with examining ourselves and reflecting upon ourselves. It's very common to do that this time of the year. But we cannot, nor should we, keep that mindset just for what is on the physical, just for what's on the outside, just for what people see about ourselves. For this is something that we need to also carry over into our spiritual lives. We need to look at our spiritual life and see, are there things there that we wish not to be? Are there things there that shouldn't be? Are there things there that we need to take care of and to get away from and to set them aside out of our lives? So it's good to reflect back upon ourselves, our spiritual lives as well. While we are all aware of this time of the year, have you ever noticed how many health clubs, exercise programs, exercise machines, diets, and all kinds of stuff that pops up this year? If I didn't know better, I think everybody in the world's fat. Welcome to the club. But you know this is the time of the year that they take advantage of that, because they take advantage of people who are wanting to change. And if you wish to change that about yourself, I'll support you all that I can. There's nothing wrong with that at all in a person's life. It's of the utmost importance, beloved, that we as God's people, every once in a while, from time to time, take inventory in regard to our walk with the Lord. So keep in mind that the Scripture talks about sins that doth so easily beset us. Easily besets us. We're also warned about the little foxes that spoil the grapes, right? The little ones. Not the great big things, not the great big monsters, if you will, that you can see coming from well. It's those little critters that sneak in unawares. And they're not recognized as being there until the damage has already been done. The damage has already taken place. I remember many years ago now, while Preacher Hall was away, he'd asked Elaine and I to keep an eye on his garden or water his corn every evening and just keep a lookout on it, which we did. And he had three or four tomato plants that were right beside his house. And they were nice. They were nice size. They were pretty plants. Until one evening we went there, and those plants that we had saw the day before that were so nice and pretty was just sticks, just the stalk. That's all that was left. No leaves, no bloom, no small tomatoes, nothing. And we got to look at what in the world could do that. Because they were trying the night before. And we got to looking and we found, guess what? Tobacco worm about that long. I had no idea that tobacco worm would eat like that. Boy, it did. And beloved, little things. Well, that's not a pretty little worm, I suppose. But it is a worm, nonetheless. Insignificant in the broad scheme of things, can affect our testimony, can affect our lives, can affect our walk with the Lord to our detriment, not to our improvement. So it's good that we keep a watch on those things. It's good that we from time to time take a look at it. And there's no better time than now for us to take a very close look at where we are in our relationship with the Lord. We need to examine ourselves to see where we have been, where it is that we're going, and where it is that the Lord wants us to be in all three aspects of our life. And these are things that we do, and when we do them, they make us better. They'll make us better servants of the Lord. They'll help us to walk with Him better, better all the time. The passage that we have before us today is one that gives us the opportunity as well as the challenge to do that very thing. Now I'm going to illustrate, and I'm going to be focusing on this illustration for most of the points I'm going to make this morning and into next week. And what I want to use to illustrate this is, and the best thing I can come up to do so for what I'm talking about, is have you ever in your home cleared out a spare room? Just have a room that you don't need for anything in particular, and it is therefore a spare room. It is very, very easy. In fact, it is beyond easy for us to completely clutter up a room that we're not using for anything else. We get a hold of something, we don't know what to do with it, we put it in the extra room. We get something and we know we want it, but we've got to have a use for it right now, we put it in the extra room. We have something that we might not even want, but we can't bring ourselves to get rid of it, so what we do? We shove it in that extra room. Before long, if you're not careful, if you open up the door to the spare room, stuff's going to fall out, back out into the hallway to where you were. You know, this, as I'm saying is, it's very easy for us to clutter up the room that we're using. I make no bones. I am the king of clutter. All you have to do is see the top of my desk, assuming you can find the top of my desk, and you see all kinds of stuff on there. But guess what? I know where every piece of it's at. And I know what it's there for. One of my New Year's resolutions is to get it cleaned off and to keep it that way. Oh, that's a funny thought. But it's a good thought nonetheless. Most, if not all the time, the things that we clutter our rooms with are things that we have absolutely no use at all for. None whatsoever. And as such, they are in fact no longer needed. As we continue to go on, we find that there are a few things it's not something that we don't need, it's in fact something we do need and use, but it just needs to be relocated. You don't need to have it where it is. There's a better place for it, there's a better place for it to be, so that whenever we need it, we can get a hold of it. And in the process of cleaning up things, we will inevitably uncover a few things that we've forgotten about, but as we look at them, they cause us to walk down memory lane. They don't mean anything to anybody else, but they mean the world to us. as we take a walk down memory lane, thinking about them, thinking about, it is particularly true when you come across pictures. You think about the person in the photograph, you think about the time that when it was taken, what you were doing. You think about all that goes along with that, and photographs are a precious thing. That's one of the greatest tragedies when somebody loses their home to a fire. There are a lot of things with fire, yes, that can be replaced, but then there's some things that's irreplaceable. And among those is our pictures, our photographs, things that we really truly enjoy. These are the things that we come up with whenever we take a very, very close look at our lives and examine the individual rooms that we have within our lives, as it were. We have those places that are completely filled with clutter. We allow clutter to accumulate in our life. Generally speaking, not always, this isn't a hard, fast rule, but generally speaking, somebody that doesn't have time for anything, especially anything in regard to the church of the Lord, is somebody whose life is completely filled with clutter. And they're spending their time running around like a chick with their head cut off, taking care of things that really don't mean that much. But that's what they cluttered their life up with. That's what they cluttered things up with that they were doing. I don't want to be misunderstood here. I am all for our children enjoying their childhood. I'm all for children being able to participate in things that enhances their childhood. But I tell you for a fact, if you're not awfully careful, you can have your children so wrapped up in so many activities that you don't have time to do anything but run up and down the road. You can go to the extreme on both ends. And that's something we need to make sure that we're not spending all of our time, just chasing our tails, so to speak. We need to take time to enjoy life. Enjoy the blessings. Enjoy what God has done for us. And spend time with Him among other things. As we clean a room in our homes, there are three things that happen, inevitably. There are some things that are retained, some things that are released and done away with, and some things that are remembered. So there are some things that are retained, released, and remembered. And that'll happen regardless of what you accumulate. Whenever we look into these verses, it's easy to see from them a challenge that all of God's children need to do exactly the same thing within our lives. It is a simple fact that when we look at our life in light of these verses, that is, this is four verses that we read this morning, that we are challenged to retain some things, to release some things, to get rid of some things, and to remember some things. Remember what the Lord has done for us, particularly. So today and into next week, I'd like for us to look closely at these verses and look at the challenges that they contain for us, the challenges that they leave for us. And as we do, I want us to understand that God has a plan for your life. Everyone, we hear that constantly, we hear that often. I know, but it's so. It is so. And we think that if God didn't have a plan for us in 2023, we wouldn't be here in 2023. But He has a plan. What that is, I don't know fully. I know a little bit about it, and by that I mean I know that it's God's will that I stand here and proclaim His Word. But beyond that, everything else is just speculation. You know what? Here we are in January, and you know what that means. I mean, it's time to start getting going full board before long in Vacation Bible School again. Getting ready for that. So we got things to do. I'm going to touch more on that a little bit here in a few weeks, I guess. I want us to understand that it is important. Every person here is important. You're important to somebody. You're important to yourself, if nothing else. But you are important because God has you here. God has made a place for you, if you will. He wants certain things from our lives, and He has the right to demand certain things from our lives. Being God, being our Savior, being our Redeemer, being our Lord, He has that right. Notice the challenges that are in these verses as we look into the subject, an old challenge for a new year. The thing we're going to start with is there are some things that must be retained. Some things that must be retained. Whenever we clean out a room, we'll find several things that are important to us. You know, did you ever put the, you know, you get an appliance or something and you get the book that comes with it and you put that book somewhere where you know it's going to be, so then when you go look for it, you can't find it? You ever go through that? And then when you're cleaning out somewhere, all of a sudden, nowhere else that you could be, guess what you find? You find that book. It's something that's important, though. I'm not minimizing it. We do the same thing. Talk about some things that need to be retained. I told you maybe this before, but maybe some. I told a little game I used to play with my wife. I used to love that game. Her mom had gave her something that had one of those fake fur collars on it. Well, that fur collar came off. And I got it. And it was surprised where that fur collar would turn up. I put it in a drawer, put it underneath some things, put it back around something. So that when then there was a harvest with it, that when she reached in and got a hold of it, she just knew she got a hold of a rat. She would squall and sling that thing, and I'd get it back. Finally, she took it and threw it away. It broke my fun. But for my part, now something needs to be retained. But she didn't see it that way. These things that are important are things that we don't throw away. Things we keep, things that we know that we might have need of down the road somewhere. But we keep them so that we might be able to use them. Use them at the appropriate time. In a spiritual sense, Paul is telling us here that there are a couple precious spiritual possessions that we would definitely do well to hang on to. In the first part of verse 1, there is made an awareness of our foundation. You know, nothing, if you're going to build anything, you've got to have a good foundation. Same thing spiritually. We have to have a good, solid foundation on which to build. Paul tells us that we are risen with Christ. We are risen with Him. What a wonderful blessing it is to be risen with Christ. The word in this verse, if, is not a statement of possibility. Like, I would like to do this today if it doesn't rain. Or I'd like to do this if I'm not too busy. I'd like to do this if I have the chance. Or if I have the opportunity to do so. It's not that way. It's not a question of possibility. It is a declaration of a spiritual reality. It's certain. In no way that you can say that is since you are risen with Christ. It's a definite fact that establishes the point here. What Paul is discussing here is our spiritual possession, our position rather, our spiritual spot, where we are. Now, listen to very carefully what I'm about to say here, because I could really get misunderstood. When Jesus died on Calvary, when He gave up His life for us, every person who would ever place their faith in Him died as well. Now, don't go away and saying that I'm saying that since that happened, that you're born saved. I'm not saying that. That's hard shell doctrine. You're born lost. You're born in your sins. You're born a sinner. You have to be redeemed. You have to be quickened and all that goes along with the work of salvation. But every one of God's people, those that were alive in His day, those that have come since, those who have yet to come if the Lord don't return, they all died with Him on the cross. Since we are risen with Him. If we hadn't died, we wouldn't need to be risen. Right? If you didn't have one, you wouldn't need the other. But here's how they go together. In a spiritual sense, we died to the penalty and power of sin when Jesus died on the cross. The penalty for sin was paid. The penalty of sin was forever set aside, never to be held against us ever again. Think about that. Oh, we may be chastened because of sin. We may miss out on some blessings because of sin. There may be some things that come our way that we may look at as unpleasant because of our sin. But we will never be judged because of our sin. That judgment took place on the cross when Jesus died. And we died to the power of sin. Now, are we sinlessly perfect now? No, far from it. All of us. But the reality is, we sin because we want to. When we give in to the flesh. When we allow the flesh to take control. And we've talked about that at length. This flesh, you cannot depend on it. You can't trust it. You can't take your eye off of it for a minute. Because if you do, you're going to find yourself somewhere you don't want to be. Sin is something that is so treacherous. If I was to give you a bottle this size and tell you that the liquid inside of it was nitroglycerin, you would handle that thing with kid gloves, wouldn't you? Wouldn't shake it, wouldn't drop it. You would try to get rid of it as quickly as you could and get away from it as quickly as you could. Beloved, sin is far more dangerous than all nitroglycerin in the world. And we need to avoid it and handle it very gingerly when we have to and get rid of it as soon as possible. Because it is so deadly. So therefore, because I am dead to what? Dead to sin. Dead to the penalty of sin. I do not have to worry about being punished for my sins. That is, eternally punished for our sins. Thank God for that fact. Thank God for what He did for us on Calvary's cross. The price has been paid, and I've already died. Romans 6:23 points that out. Because we have died with Jesus, we've also been liberated, set free. Well, we've been talking about the power of sin in our lives. Romans 6:14 deals with that. Therefore, when we stand before God, we stand without excuse. We stand without any excuse whatsoever for what we have done because we didn't have to. See, before, when we were shackled to our sin, we didn't have a choice. I mean, it was just our nature. It was the same nature as anything that you can think of. As a cat is chasing a mouse or a dog is chasing a cat. It was just nature. It's just the way things are. since we're saved, really, when we give into it, it's contrary to our nature. Because we are born again, and that nature of a born again child of God cannot sin, Scripture says. And that's that nature that we have. There is a sense in which every child in God is dead. As we see, they are dead to sin. Colossians 2:20 deals with that fact. Dead to sin. Thank God for that fact. As we look further, in this verse that we just looked at, Paul reminds us that we've also been raised up with Jesus. We were dead with Him, and we were raised up. When He died, we died. When He rose from the dead, we rose from the dead as well. This is what is pictured with baptism, isn't it? We died with Christ, we're buried with Christ, we rose up again with Christ. The beautiful picture of what's spiritually done within our lives. We must never forget that we are dead to sin. And because of that, and because of what Jesus did, we are alive to a new life in Christ. That which we didn't have before, that we couldn't muster before, that we couldn't manufacture before. There is an attention to our focus. The latter part of verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Since we've been raised to a new life in Jesus, since that fact has been already established that it has happened, we are told to seek those things which are above. You see, we have in our life a void where sin was. We have a void where sin occupied, where sin took such a part of our life. So what are we going to do with that void? Seek those things that are above. Don't sit around and do nothing, because if you do that, sin will come right back in. But seek those things which are above. The verb seek here is in the present tense, imperative mode. And as I've said to you also many times in the past, and those of you that have been listening to me know that if anybody can butcher the King's grammar, it's me. I'm taking what I read, and as I was studying this, to what this said. In other words, we are told to continually be seeking those things which are above. Continually. Not just today and tomorrow and let it go for a while and try to pick it up again a little later on. But we're going to be doing this continually. Each and every day. For you see, we are crucifying this old flesh. How often? Every day. We can't allow it to take hold. We can't allow it to take root. So we have to crucify this flesh anew each and every day. So that means we need to fill our lives each and every day with those things that are above. To seek those things that are pleasing to God. Verse 2 builds on that fact by telling us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections. Now, we know what our affections are. We all have things that affect our affections. And then for some they're different. For some there's a means more. For some there are different things. But it all comes to the same part. The word affections refers to the mind. That's what the mindset is. We see run across people. There are some people that are naturally tender-hearted. They can't bear the thought of hurting anything or anybody. And then there are some people, in their mind, they don't care. They just assume step on you is not. They don't care if they hurt you. They don't care what problems that they may cause or have caused anybody. And these are the kinds of things that, love, that we need to understand is where our mind is. It's where our mind, what affects our minds. So we are to set our affections, that is our mind, on things that are above. We are told here to focus our thoughts on heavenly things, not earthly things. When you're at home, quietly sitting, where's your mind go? Well, it may go to work, or it may go to a problem, may go to a bill that you're trying to meet or pay or whatever. But set all that aside for just a minute. Are you thinking about how you can attain this, or how you can get this, how you can acquire this, how you can accomplish this? Or are you thinking about how that you can serve God better, how you can love God more, how you can read your Bible more, how you can serve God better? Is your mind, is the focus of your mind set on things above or on things of the earth? And we are admonished here in Scripture to set our minds on things above. Now, we've said before that we're not supposed to be so heavenly conscious that we're no earthly good. You know, we think about things we like to do and like to get and so forth. And in its place, it's not wrong. It's when it totally consumes our life that the problems arise. And the problems come up. And it comes, it takes a place that it has no place to be in our life at all. We are to set our minds on the things of God and on the things that bring glory to Him. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to the Father, bring glory to God. Our purpose in being here, all of us, in whatever capacity we're in, is to bring glory and honor to God. And that's what we need to focus on, how we can do that, how we can do it better, how that we've done in the past and how we can do it yet in the future. And this is a good place for us to stop. And we'll pick up here and finish this up next week as we're looking at the challenges that we have. An old challenge for the new year. Let us pray.